Hello, and welcome to the Dialogue on Dialogue podcast. In 1956, Earl Nightingale recorded The Strangest Secret, launching a new era in self-improvement. Over his lifetime, he created thousands of radio and audio programs exploring success, purpose, and meaning. This project is my personal reflection on those ideas, what they meant then, and how they apply now, as I work to put them into practice and invite you to come along for the ride.
Episode 9, The Attributes of Successful People. As Earl Nightingale reminds us, people don't need to be educated nearly as much as they need to be reminded. This series is about remembering the truths we probably already know and learning how to live them. In Chapter 9, Earl takes a more observational approach. Rather than offering abstract theory, he asks us simply look around. If you compare people you consider successful with those who are struggling, even drifting, you'll notice a pattern. The people in the top 5% consistently display more of certain qualities than those in the bottom 95%. Earl then identifies 5 attributes of successful people. Recognition, self-esteem, rewards, change, and service. Let's walk through them. First, recognition. This one lends itself to a thought experiment. Think of a successful person. Someone famous in their field or highly respected in their community. Why did they come to mind? Because you recognize them. Recognition doesn't necessarily mean being good or even admirable. Someone can be successful at being terrible. But recognition comes from doing something distinctly, something better, louder, or more visible than others in that space. This made me think about something darker, too. One of the most tragic aspects of homelessness is not the lack of resources, although that would suck too, but the lack of recognition. People stop being seen as fully human. Success, in contrast, almost guarantees visibility. Recognition follows focus, effort, and distinction. The second, self-esteem. Successful people tend to have higher self-esteem than unsuccessful people. Part of that may be natural temperament. Part of it is earned. When you are working toward goals, keeping commitments to yourself, and making progress, you actually have something to be proud of. There's an interesting chicken and egg dilemma here. Do successful people have more self-esteem because they succeed? Or do they succeed because they have more self-esteem? Earl's answer implicitly is it doesn't matter. You may not control your starting point, but you can control your effort. And you have every right to feel good about honest effort, persistence, and growth. Third, rewards. The third attribute is rewards. This connects back to the Pareto principle we discussed earlier. The idea that a small percentage of people in any field receive a disproportionate share of the rewards. And rewards aren't just money. They include other things like better health, leisure, stronger relationships, better autonomy, more meaningful work. Successful people tend to experience more of what they value because they've aligned their actions with long-term goals. Rewards, in this sense, are a feedback. Fourth, change. Successful people experience more positive change in their lives. That might mean travel or new adventures or exposure to different ideas and cultures. It might also mean meeting new and interesting people, many of whom are themselves successful. This is the attribute that hit me personally. When we get older, it's easy to mistake routine for safety. But Earl reminds us that change is not something to fear. It's something that expands us. Exposure to change increases opportunity, and exposure to opportunity increases the likelihood of success. Fifth, service. The final attribute is service. Successful people tend to serve larger communities. As success grows, so does reach. When we think of leaders, mentors, or people we admire, they are almost always people who contribute meaningfully to others. Service isn't an accident, it's an outcome. The more capable you become, the more people you can help. And the people we see as successful are often those who have made themselves useful beyond their own immediate needs. This episode ends with what I took as a warning and a challenge. Earl references one of his contemporaries, a Dr. O'Reilly, a career counselor and author, who suggested that people doing creative work tend to max out around 4 hours per day of truly productive creative effort. Thinking about it, this resonated with me. I can push past 4 hours, but when I do, quality drops off. I can still handle busy work and repetitive tasks, but my best creative thinking fades. I couldn't help thinking of author Tim Ferriss, the author of The 4-Hour Workweek, and wonder whether that idea is just a modern distillation of something much older. I'm not there yet, and I'm not sure I even want to be, but it's a useful thought experiment. How much of our best work actually requires focus rather than time?